It's the Rule of Threes podcast. I'm Chris Grace.
And I'm Casey Lawrence.
And we are long distance.
Ooh, back in the long distance game.
Yeah, I guess this is, no, this is probably farther than we were last time when I was in Orlando.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah, because yeah, I'm further north.
A little further than Orlando is from Los Angeles. Casey, on a scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you?
Oh my God. I'm like a 900. Can I blow the scale out that much?
900.
We finally got JaVale McGee on the team.
We finally re-signed KCP to a
that, I was on my group chat yesterday, and the KCP thing did not excite me. I will admit that I was like, he just doesn't do it for me. But that being said, I want him to do well. I'm all root.
Well, obviously, you know, everybody knows LeBron James has signed with the Lakers, 4-year contract, $154 million. It was a pretty exciting weekend. I was chatting with you Saturday night as you were about to go into your show. And we had, I believe that's right around when we heard that Paul George was not coming to the Lakers.
Yes, the Paul George news got out just before the break of the new league year. So just like 5 minutes before Shams and Woj got out there and told us that Paul George was staying because of a party he was having with Russell Westbrook.
Right. And then we had sort of a long, I think Saturday night, a lot of people thought that the news was going to come out for LeBron like later that night. So a lot of people stayed up until like 3 a.m, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. People were very, very ready for LeBron to get his decision made. And he just waited. He was just chilling.
I'm actually surprised that it came out as soon as it did. I actually thought it was going to be like sometime this week.
I was not expecting it at all. Like I thought that if he was going to wait, he was going to wait long enough for, you know, stuff to settle. But right. It came out yesterday, and I was doing something else. I was making dinner, and I was like, oh my God, it's LeBron. We gotta stop what we're doing and get this going.
It's very odd, you know, that we've been talking about it for over a year now, him coming to the Lakers, and it still feels like a move you made in NBA 2K. You know, like the player's like in the wrong jersey kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I feel that.
Feel quite real. And you're ecstatic. I'm ambivalent.
I do.
It's interesting. There's a lot of I think it's going to be fascinating to see how people feel about this whole move a year from now, because I have concerns about this move. I know everybody's super excited. But the flip side of, for example, a lot of Lakers / Kobe fans now being fans of LeBron is there's a lot of LeBron fans. And I would say in the last 2 years, Reddit NBA has sort of rallied around he's the king. He doesn't have enough help. He's really the hero of the NBA because he's going up against the evil empire.
Okay.
It is the Warriors. Now, I can see a lot of people eventually finding reasons to sort of turn on him because he's part of, you know, what has traditionally been also the evil empire in terms of the NBA.
Yeah, traditionally the evil empire. But now we are basically the rebellion, a bunch of young, scrappy kids. You know, you got Kuz Solo, you got Lonzo, Princess Lonzo, you got, you know, you got Josh Hart Skywalker, Brandon Ingram, the Wookiee.
Chewbacca.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, we're on the same page here. The Lakers are a young, I say we, I mean, I'm fully in right now. I'm staying at my buddy's house, and we're both like big Lakers fans from LA. And we heard the news, and his only friend he knows from Cleveland was in the house with us, and we had to like tamper our like our celebration just to be polite because this guy was pretty sad. And as soon as he left, we just like hugged each other and jumped up and down for a minute. It was beautiful.
First of all, a couple weeks ago, I was talking about what do you want from an NBA team if your team isn't contending? And I was like, a bunch of young guys and like fun veterans to watch.
Yep.
And now, like, that's exactly what the Lakers have. I personally would love it if we just stuck with this roster for the season.
Okay.
I actually don't see, even if they get Kawhi, it's not a given that they'll beat the Warriors and get to the finals and all that. And okay. I would actually prefer that they don't gut the team. and maybe just sign him next summer or something like that. Like, I don't see us winning the championship this next year. So to me, I'm like, let LeBron play with the young kids and see who rises, who bumps up to the next level. But so I was going to say, like, that now we have the same thing I was saying about the Dallas Mavericks, which is they're a fun team with like young kids and a veteran. We have that with the Lakers. There's all sorts of narratives that are going to be, have to be essentially reformed, because I do think that like a lot of NBA sentiment has sort of tribalized around in the last 5 years around whether you're a Kobe or LeBron fan. And now it's like those two groups are like melding now, or sort of have to meld.
I mean, we're on the same team, you know? I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, it's a marriage and you're like, I guess we gotta be friends with that family now.
Yeah, exactly. Now I have concerns. I'm gonna wait on my concerns until we get into the regular season and see how it goes. I mean, I have the things that I'm ambivalent about, I've said before, in terms of like, you know, what his presence does to the franchise, which I'm actually less worried about now because it's a 4-year contract. It seems like Magic and Pelinka got like a full commitment from him, which is great. So like, we don't have to worry about, you know, is he going to leave 12 months from now, 24 months from now? Do we have to distort the roster just to like keep him happy?
Yeah.
So I think that's great. It gives them some space to like really build and also see out of this crew of young guys, you know, who's going to do well.
Who's going to step up. And I think that, you know, we're going to see this season, like what it's like to have like LeBron lead a team that is, you know, kind of up and coming instead of like trying to have that team where it's, cause all the guys that they signed, like the vets that they brought in, like Lance Stephenson's not going to play more than 10 minutes a game. JaVale's going to play 10 to 15 minutes a game. You know, it's not like they're going to get the big minutes, but it's going to be LeBron working with this team of youngsters to try to put them over the top, you know, and for now over the top is winning one playoff round, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's my hope. I hope that around the trade deadline, they don't start to get like, all right, we got to put JaVale, Lance, we got to put the veterans in for more time. We got to trade for, you know, the equivalent of like Rodney Hood and George Hill. Like that's what I hope they don't do, which I don't think they will. I think they're smarter than that. And I think Luke and Magic will have a stronger presence than Tyronn Lue and Kobe Altman.
Yep.
Now I will say the first like not great sign about that is I think Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, is he a buddy of LeBron's? Is that what it, is he like represented by Rich Paul or something?
Yes, he is a Clutch Sports agent client.
Okay, so that's not a great sign that the very first thing that happened was we signed this guy that I really didn't need on the team next year.
What's the difference, though? What's the difference? It's that it's for 1 year.
Right.
Right. It's that 1 year, and then it still preserves the cap space going into next year for, you know, putting Kawhi on the team.
So what's the deal? Like, does this so they are it's interesting that they immediately like used up all their other cap space for this year.
Yeah.
So what does that mean in terms of trying to sign DeMarcus Cousins? Or
he's a no-go this year. There's no DeMarcus Cousins this year.
OK.
Right. Because
people are still saying it's a possibility somehow.
So, yes, it is technically a possibility if they get off the dang contract, either by stretching or trading him, and they renounce Julius Randle. If those two things happen, they could absolutely sign DeMarcus Cousins.
I want them to keep
him. But here's the thing. They're just going to keep Randle. If they keep Randle, what they'll do is they'll sign him to a huge deal, 1 year deal. Like they may sign him to a max 1 year deal.
Interesting.
And I'm pretty sure you can do that if he's an RFA on your own team. Other teams who are signing RFAs can't sign to a one max year deal. I think the minimum is like 2 or 3 years on a deal that you sign a restricted free agent to. But I think if he's your own restricted free agent, you can sign him to that 1 year giant deal. Now, and they may try to tell him like, hey, we want you on the team this next year. We want to make it so that you make a lot of money, and maybe get back into the free agency market unrestricted next year. You know, maybe we'll be able to keep you. Maybe we won't, but, if you sign with us for this 1 year, we'll bump your pay up way more than you would have gotten somewhere else. Bet on yourself. Bet on yourself and play well. Get yourself that max deal with many years next year. But play with us. Play with LeBron this year. See what works out. I think that's what their pitch is going to be to him.
I don't dislike that plan because I think that Randle is somebody who, like a driven Julius Randle, is a good player to have on the team.
Oh, yeah.
Motivated, like intense Julius Randle is not bad.
Yeah.
I think KCP has got to be one of the winners from the weekend.
I mean, it's so funny that he's a winner from the weekend and he's making $6 million less than he made last year. Because you're not wrong. He is one of the winners of the weekend because he got a big deal that's more than what he was worth. And he gets to play with LeBron.
Yeah.
If he gets a DUI again, he can continue his very, very easy probationary work schedule where he plays home games and doesn't travel to road games.
His state arrest situation.
Ooh, boy.
I guess he takes a lot of lifts.
I mean, yes, I think that's it.
I would say loser for the weekend for me, Paul George.
Oh, so, you know, I was looking at a friend of mine did like some very rough calculations on their payroll and didn't take didn't account for the fact that the luxury tax is punitive. And the more that you go over it, the more you're penalized. Uh-huh. And so he was like, oh man, a $40 million tax bill for this team. That's crazy. What he didn't realize is that it's going to be like $140 million on the tax bill for them if they don't offload Carmelo or somebody else who's making a lot of money. And like, there's no way that team goes and beats Golden State, and they don't beat Houston. They lost last year to Utah. They may lose again this year to Utah. I don't think that next year they're going to be better than Minnesota. I think Minnesota is going to come together. And does that team beat LeBron?
Yeah, you know, I mean,
I think that's close. I think they can.
Lakers, as the rosters are currently constructed, a Thunder Lakers series is a fun series to watch. It's not a gimme for the Thunder.
No. And it's, you know, it's so interesting, you know, just like up in Portland where they're stuck in cap hell, you're paying so much money for this team where the upper limit of that team is, you know, third fucking place in the West.
Yeah. See, this is the anti-construction of the teams that I enjoy, which is like, who are the young, fun players to watch on the Thunder? There's not really.
I'm always going to go with Steven Adams. Love me some Steven Adams.
Yeah, but he's starting to not be a young player anymore.
I guess so. Yeah, he's 26, 27 right now?
25, 26 or something like that.
Yeah.
I guess I'm interested in watching part three of the Paul George documentary when he tells us how he made this. But I actually just think it's a really bad decision on his part in so many ways.
Okay. I mean, because it feels like, you know, he had this opportunity to come to LA to make something ridiculous happen, and then now he doesn't have that opportunity anymore. The thing that's going to happen is that he's going to be stuck in Oklahoma City and playing with Russell Westbrook, who I think both of us would, if we were NBA level basketball players, would not want to play with Russell Westbrook. That's our opinion.
That is my opinion.
I mean,
especially if I was not Paul George, but if I was a big man wanting to get rebounds for my contract situations, yeah. I would not want to play with him.
I mean, to be fair, Paul George doesn't have to worry about getting any numbers for his contract situation. So now he can do nothing. And if they win a million games, that's great. It just doesn't feel like that's what I would do. But that's, you know, that's why he's him. That's why he's Paul George. He makes his own decisions. And, you know, as much as I want for that to be the decision where he comes to the Lakers, is just not, I'm not mad at him. I just, you know, I'm just bummed out. I think it could have been really fun.
I'm not mad at him. I honestly was never convinced that he was a super top tier player. I'm talking about A1, you know, at the level of these other guys.
People have been saying that. People are like, oh, he's not a top player. You can't win with him on your team as your number one player. And I don't know. I feel like you definitely can. I mean, I think he's a lot better than we're like retroactively talking about him as. I think he's
I guess what I would say is I think it's a possibility that he has more of a I'd like to be the second best player on a team mentality, which in which case Thunder is a good situation for him. What I will say is that, like, we don't have a long history of him, like, generating winning basketball in terms of, like, I'm the guy that takes over a game. And, you know, that's why he has been ridiculed so much for those Gatorade commercials.
Yeah.
Because of the, like, whatever the one is like, there's not going to be overtime tonight or whatever.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he hasn't, like, particularly delivered, like, years of highlights of, like, look at this guy, he's incredible.
I don't know. Didn't you see playoff Paul this year with his 12 threes in one game or whatever the fuck that was?
Did I?
I mean, I saw that one. It did happen in the one game that they won against the Utah at the beginning of the series. He scored a ton of points and he was like, playoff Paul is here, baby.
Yeah,
and he gave himself a nickname, and then he shit the bed the rest of the series.
Yeah. If you look at, like, the contract that he ended up with, one thing did stick out to me from the first part of his documentary that I did watch, which was there's, like, a side conversation with his agent about, hey, instead of taking, because he didn't take, like, a full, the maximum years, right?
Or something. No, he took one less. He took four years with a player option on the fourth year, but at max money.
So they, in a side conversation that he had with his agent on the documentary, they talked about what age he would be when he goes for his next contract.
That's right. And after 3 years, he bumps up into that top tier of player contract.
Yeah. So, but they were also talking about, like, going for the next max contract when I'm 32 versus 30.
Yeah.
I believe this would leave him at 31 years old or something for his next one. I will say
hedge
that.
Your bets.
Yeah, so it's a, like, he gets to get out a little bit. He probably will opt out and go for his last, like, giant contract when he's 31 or something like that. What you just said about bumping up into the next tier, though, Brian Windhorst was saying that, like, he gets there in 2 years.
Yeah.
So he was saying he didn't understand why he's added the third year to it. Because he could have just done a 2 and 2 or something like that. But also comparing this to the contract he could have gotten if he just stayed the last year in Indiana, I think he could have gotten a better deal. So it's weird, like, financially, it's like kind of, there's a lot of factors going into it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if he had just wanted to stay in Indiana and said, and told them that he was going to stay, then yeah, he'd be set. But yeah, I mean, he's still set money wise. He just, you know, is on a team that we're just, I mean, I'll admit it. I wish he was in LA. Like, I'm bummed out about it. And I think that kind of colors what I'm saying about him, is that, like, I think he kind of backed down from, like, coming home and playing for the Lakers. Like, he backed down from that in a way that, like, doesn't, you know, like, does it fucking matter? I don't know, but it feels like, you know, he said he wanted to, and then he was like, well, this is fine. I'm fine here. I don't know.
Yeah, I find it more befuddling, because I'm just like, what is so compelling about staying there that you wanted to stay? Because so sort of all the quality of life factors, I would think, favor Los Angeles.
I don't know. What about the Chesapeake Energy Arena?
That's right. I mean, he could have gotten, you know, basically similar money in both places. You know, before they were saying, like, well, if he stays in Oklahoma, he gets the fifth year or whatever. And because he's had a history of, like, you know, he broke his leg and all that stuff. So maybe he'd want to go for a long contract to be like, let me, you know, go for security. But he signed for the same length of contract that he could have for LA.
Do you remember where you were when Paul George broke his leg?
This was an international game, right?
It was an international game. It was at the Thomas and Mack Arena in Las Vegas. It was where the game was. And I was at Kung Pao Bistro on Santa Monica.
How is that place,
Fairfax,
by the way?
I actually fucking love that place. It's one of my favorite places for, like, a cheap, but also, like, nicer than, like, bad Chinese food. And they have good happy hour. They come highly recommended from me.
You were in Kung Pao Bistro.
I was in Kung Pao Bistro by myself on, like, a Saturday afternoon or whatever day it was. And I was just sitting there eating and watching the game that they had on the TV. And I watched him break his leg and I couldn't eat anymore. I was like, oh, it was so fucking gross and so sad. Cause he looked like, I mean, he just fucking knew his, season was over, and he probably thought his career was over.
I believe that I was in Edinburgh, Scotland for the Fringe Festival.
Yeah.
I think this was like in a summertime.
Yes, it was. Yeah. Yeah. You're probably right about that.
Anyway, well, he's not coming. Nope. I would love to know what the sort of like text chats were between him and LeBron leading into this.
Does it feel like they were like buds, that they text a lot, or like,
it doesn't. And actually going into this, I did feel that like LeBron wasn't necessarily going to wait. I think that there's a lot of things about the LeBron move that make sense. If the rumors are true that he thinks about narrative constantly, which is one, don't form a super team. Go by yourself. If anyone else comes, great, but don't do the thing of like the Heat move where it's like we've sort of talked to each other and we're all going to do it at once. The other thing is don't do a KD move, which is go to an established team. You know, don't go to the Rockets, don't go to arguably the Sixers or whatever. You know, build a team up from the bottom. I actually think that this positions LeBron as a great opportunity for him to win MVP next year.
Yeah.
Because he's in the West. He can just have a monster regular season, get them to like the sixth seed in the West or something. And I think he's positioned himself like perfectly for an MVP.
Oh yeah. I mean, this is the comeback year for his relevancy to the MVP debate.
Yeah.
Because people aren't going to be tired of him.
Yeah.
On the national stage. But I mean, I guess like unless they're predisposed to being tired of him, because like the thing that they'll be tired of is like the fact that he is just doing it, that he's like making it happen in LA, and he's going to be on TV every week, twice a week.
Now I'm going to be those battling narratives issues. I think it's going to be fascinating to see what, basically all of my concerns about LeBron's basketball this year. I'm interested to see, one, whether I soften on them this year, and I'm like, he needs to rest on the defensive end. He's so good on the offensive, right? But also, I think a lot of people that are sort of knee-jerk anti-Lakers will start to focus on those things. And he's a year older. He might be doing more of that this year. I think that'll be fascinating to watch. For example, like, where does Nick Wright go at this point? Is he, like... What kind of pundit is he now? And how does he speak about LeBron next year?
I mean, I don't know.
You know, I believe he's an avowed Laker hater.
Yeah.
People that have used LeBron to like bludgeon Kobe's legacy, are in like basically the mirror image predicament that I am, you know? I'll be very curious to see what happens with like people like Nick Wright, people like Shannon Sharpe, even people on my side of it were like Skip Bayless. Like is Nick Wright I root for the Cavaliers or I root for the LeBron James phenomenon, you know,
yeah.
pundit, you know, or does it become a attack the Lakers organization for not, you know, if they don't do as well as they should, for not not making the best of his last 5 years of his amazing career.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough because like if it feels like a movie where you've got to like team up with your enemy to do something. And it's like one of those like buddy cop movies where you like hate the other guy.
Yeah. And not like an Avengers team up where it's like Iron Man and Captain America really are on the same side, you know. They just had a misunderstanding or whatever. That if this feels more a different, like it feels very weird to think of him in a Lakers uniform.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure you're going to get.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And you know, I may be headed down to the NBA store in Times Square, you know, at some point in the next week to put down a little payment on the old Bron jersey. I mean, they've got to have him out already, right?
Well, considering that none of this is official until Friday.
Oh, shucks. You're right.
Probably won't.
They won't have him out.
It would be amazing if Paul George just like renounced his deal and like came to Lakers anyway. I will give you an update. I ordered so for listeners, in case you want to know, Casey showed me tips on how to find sales jerseys, like jerseys on clearance.
Oh yeah,
the NBA store. I ordered a Brooklyn Jeremy Lin jersey.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
I will be wearing that for when we shoot our video of our 7 for 44. Challenge.
Hell yes. And he wears number 7, right?
Yes, I have a number 7 for him.
Great. I'm literally wearing my number 7 Brooklyn Joe Johnson jersey. So we're both we'll both be wearing our number 7 Brooklyn jerseys. Rule of Threes podcast with number right. 7 jerseys.
I would say another big loser, I would say, is the Houston Rockets.
Yeah, I mean, so that Chris Paul max deal, I mean, you're no fan.
But he had to do it because he's the head of the players union.
He did have to do it. And they lost Trevor Ariza.
They did.
Which I think people thought was going to happen. I think that was a thing that they thought was going to happen. And now we just got to see what happens with Clint Capella.
Well, what's the deal with him? Is he how is it? Is this just a luxury tax situation?
Yes.
And they're just trying to get him to a fair deal.
They are repeat offenders, yes.
So that's going to be very expensive for them.
It's going to be an expensive, expensive bill.
But they can sort of is he restricted or unrestricted?
He is a restricted free agent, so he is not.
So he can go out and get an offer.
Correct.
Good Lord, his qualifying offer is $3.4 million.
Yeah, he was like the number like 18 pick or something. He wasn't he didn't have a huge rookie scale contract. He was just like they hit on him. He was a good pick, and now they're gonna have to pay up.
So their options basically are, if they wanted to piss him off and have him leave next year, they could do qualifying offer.
They did the qualifying offer, but they can't force him to sign it.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, the way it works is you extend the qualifying offer. That preserves your rights to match any of the specific.
That's how you qualify for the matching.
Correct.
Feature, essentially.
Right. A player can choose to sign their qualifying offer if they want to become an unrestricted free agent faster.
Right.
But if they want to sign a deal outside of their team, and if it gets matched, then they're stuck with that team that they were drafted by for the 3 or 4 years that they would sign that deal to.
So the interesting thing here is, like, if he doesn't go get another offer, they don't have to. There's nothing for them to match. Right.
Correct. Correct. So. And then he loses the leverage. And he would either, I mean, I would, if I was him, I would probably like sign for whatever they're offering, but he may get mad. And then because what happens is the person who gets mad is the player. And then they, out of rage, sign the qualifying offer. And then the next year they'll go into unrestricted free agency.
Right, 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 right. Right. So it's a kind of thing where, like, if they don't go to, and I don't even know who else would be in contention for him, but they don't, if he doesn't go out and get a big offer for them to match, then the Rockets are kind of bidding against themselves.
Yes. And so there's a little bit of, like, how much do they want to pay and how much can they pay and how much do they feel it's right to pay? You know, you don't want to have a disgruntled employee. You want to have somebody who wants to be there. And I think that there's an in-between that they can find. It's just about finding that in between and not, like, pissing him off or pissing off because, the rest of the agents.
Now these 1 year deals they tend to be inflated, you know, for example, like
Phoenix
deal last year, but Ariza just went and signed 1 year, $15 million for Phoenix.
It's so interesting because of the salary floor.
Right.
Right. You have to spend 90% of the salary cap.
Yeah.
Right. It just has to be spent because of the agreement with the players union. And the fact that that's what has to happen creates these weird 1 year deals that we're seeing around the league.
Yeah. Where, like, the Sixers just have $23 million to just give to Redick.
Yeah. And, like, he re-signed this year. He re-signed today for something like between 12 and 13.
Yeah.
Right.
So let's say Capella looks at, Ariza getting 15 for a 1 year deal, but, you know, Ariza is an older player. What do you think? What number do you think Capella wants then for like a 3 or 4 year deal?
I mean, Capella wants 18 to 22.
Yeah, which makes sense. I mean, he's the third best player on maybe the second best team in the league.
Yeah, and he's a big man, and historically big men have required more money.
Right, because I mean, their clothes are bigger.
Yes, it's the fabric. Honestly, though, can I just complain for like a half a second about how expensive it is to get Fluff and Fold as a bigger dude?
What's Fluff and Fold?
Fluff and Fold is where you take your laundry to a
longer... because it's by weight?
Yeah, it's by weight. And like my laundry is just so heavy because I have so much cloth on my clothes.
Well, what if you went, first of all, a lot of your laundry is jerseys.
Yes.
Which are heavy.
Yes.
By comparison. Uh-huh. What if you just went like a lot of linens?
I mean, if I wore a lot of linens, it would change up my style a little bit. It'd be a little more Miami, a little more, you know, beachy vibes.
Yeah. Well, dude, you grew up near the beach, didn't you?
I could do that. You know, I did. But linen is not really a South Bay, Hermosa Beach kind of thing. That's more like skater t-shirts and board shorts and like Vans, so much Vans. I mean, I have never paid for a Fluff and Fold because like it would be ridiculous because it would cost like four times as much as just doing the laundry in the laundromat.
Well, yeah, that's the other thing is you have historically had access to a washer and dryer, right?
I mean, I've had to use laundromats for the last like, I don't know. A long time. I mean, I haven't had a washer dryer in my house.
Well, when we're in the same city, we record the podcast in my garage. So you could just bring a load of laundry and we'll just have the podcast last as long as the dryer cycle of that takes.
100% sure that'll be so good for the audio quality.
Yeah. Now, is it possible for the Lakers to have piled on more amazing storylines on this next season than they did?
They're the Lakers. The Lakers are the new meme dream team.
I mean, remember back when it was like Lamar and the Kardashians and it was like, oh my God, and Nick Young and like, there's so much going on with this team.
I mean, there's always been a lot of like Hollywood, a lot of drama around the Lakers.
But this is like, you have Lonzo and LeVar.
Okay.
You have LeBron, which is entire phenomenon to himself.
What a circus.
Now we're adding JaVale, which means
JaVale.
I'm really hopeful that we get really good Parking Lot Chronicles.
We gotta find our way to get on that Parking Lot Chronicles. It's just walk in the parking lot.
But it's gonna have to move off of Kevin Durant's YouTube channel, probably.
That is probably true.
And we got Lance.
I mean, just nobody is more ridiculous than Lance Stephenson, and I'm so excited to see just what the fuck is going to happen with him this year, because he's nuts. And I don't like, I think there's a little bit of that they might want to like, because it feels to me a lot like those young Lakers play safe. Right.
Yes, I would agree.
And
with that.
And they might just need a little bit of that Lance quality in them to be like, okay, let's go nuts. Let's do something crazy. Let's go ham and make this a weird, like let's get weird. Let's get good. I don't know. They might be trying to say like, hey, you can do this too, but
he's a little bit of an agent of chaos. He's, now I think Randall has that quality as well. But he, it's funny. They like a team like Randall, Lance Stephenson and like Meta World Peace. Trying to guard that team, you just like your jaw would just get bruised so much.
You break everybody's jaws.
Their approach to like driving to the rim is just like just banging, 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 like playing below the rim. So I think that it's an interesting idea because I think players like, I'm thinking specifically of Lonzo. I think that he might raise his game to another level dealing with an agent of chaos, because he actually does pretty well when plays break down.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of that, I did want to say, people were questioning the Lonzo-LeBron fit, and I think it's a great fit.
I've heard both ways. I've heard people say it's a bad fit. I've heard people say it's a good fit.
Yeah.
Personally, I think it's a good fit.
So I think the people that think it's a bad fit just are not aware of how Lonzo plays. I think they think he's a ball dominant point guard, which he's not at all. So the idea that he just like pounds the ball into the ground for like 16 seconds of the 24 second clock and then looks for an assist or something like that, it's just like not the way he plays at all.
It's not it. Yeah.
He very often like doesn't hold on to the ball for like even a second. Like he just moves it.
Yeah, he keeps it moving, and like his biggest, you know, his biggest and best like offensive plays really come start in the backcourt. Yeah. You know, he's a guy who like really when he's at his most inventive, it's when the plays start in the backcourt and it's fast break stuff. And his half court offense seems like he can get bogged down a little bit.
Yes.
And to kind of have him there to like move stuff along quickly for LeBron is, you know, it's going to be good. I mean, you know, I talked about this on Instagram yesterday. I don't know if you saw my my Instagram post.
I saw a bunch of Drake photos.
Oh, that, yeah, you were on my stories. I was in the worst Airbnb I've ever been in last night, and it was no AC in the 100-degree York heat in a bed that was harder than rock. Ugh. But it was still somehow a mattress. It was wild. So I was up until 3 o'clock in the morning, driving myself crazy doing Drake memes. but no, I posted a little bit about what I thought the offense would look like, because I was teaching my new baby friend about you know, what's going to happen on the court next year for our Lakers. So you gotta go read that caption.
Oh, I will for sure. I think that they're going to be a good fit. I'm going to say something that I think Lakers fans would think is heresy.
Dun, dun, dun.
If we're looking for, you know, I guess there's still a possibility of a Kawhi trade, which I really don't think is coming.
It just seems like they're at, like, the Lakers hold all the cards. You know, there's
I don't think the Lakers are in any rush to do it, because it's like, we got LeBron now. Like, the original thing that Woj was pushing was basically like, they got to get Kawhi first, otherwise LeBron's not coming. Mm-hmm. Well, they have LeBron. So, like, they can basically, like roll the dice and see how it goes.
Yeah, the Spurs have no leverage. Like,
I would say the Lakers right now are a playoff team.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
So
LeBron and you and me and two other people from the LA improv community are a playoff team.
Yes.
That's not true, but, well, you know, it's essentially
one of them is Blake Griffin.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Good point. Good point.
So I think that I don't think a quiet trade is coming.
I don't think so either.
I don't remember what I was going to say. something about LeBron. It's always about LeBron now.
Wow, because you were like, this is going to be heresy, and then you forgot. Oh,
this is going to be heresy. I think this is a good time, and I know nobody wants to do this, but I think it's a good time to sell high on Kyle Kuzma.
Oh, you are right. That is heresy. Go fuck yourself.
I think Kyle Kuzma is a very promising young player, but I think that right now his ceiling and his potential and all that is very, very I just think that you could sell high on him and do very well in a trade, because I think he seems very, very appealing on a lot of ways in terms of like the new NBA and all that. And I think that he's not quite as good as people think he is.
All right. Well, I guess we got to stop doing this podcast. I mean, you come for my guy, and now I got to fight you.
Now, I don't think they're going to do anything along those lines. I'm just saying that if, you know, I don't even know what the packages are right now for Kawhi. And also, I don't know how these new deals that they just signed affect any of that. I'm assuming they can't just like move KCP right away.
No. Anybody who signed, first of all, anybody who signed cannot be traded for 90 days. Then the one-year deals that are signed have weird laws relating to bird rights, which give those players effective no-trade clauses. Because players that are on non-bird and early bird rights, if they're traded, lose those bird rights on those one-year deals. They don't take that over to a new team. If you're on a multi-year contract and you're traded, you keep those bird rights with your team that you're traded to. So the players union negotiated that players thought that maybe having their bird rights was more valuable than being traded to another team. So they gave them the ability to veto trades to teams where they would lose their bird rights and not be in a good situation if they didn't want to be there.
That's interesting.
Yeah, man. Catch it.
I almost think that you wouldn't want your bird rights if you're on a one-year deal, because then you could be traded and trapped into a team that you don't want to be at.
No. Bird rights don't mean that you're trapped. Bird rights only mean that you have the team has the ability to go above the salary cap to sign you.
Right. Okay. It doesn't mean that they can automatically extend you for.
Correct. That. Yeah. It's not like restricted free agency. It's just how much can the team go over the salary cap to sign you. That's why teams with no salary cap space can't sign any player they want to any amount of salary. That's why they have the exceptions. They have the mid-level exception. They have the room exception. They have the taxpayer exception. You know, all these sorts of different things that kind of pop in. And
speaking of the exception, where do you think Tyreke Evans is going?
Here's the deal, though. Lakers already spent their room exception.
I'm bringing it up because he was in talks with the Warriors.
Interesting.
And apparently, the people were talking on Reddit about how the exception is much less than what he could get. But
the taxpayer exception is something like $4.5 million. The non taxpayer exception is I think $8.8 million. So the Warriors are a tax-paying team, so they could only offer him that 4.5 to start out. And, like, he took that one-year deal with Memphis last year to up his value. However, the only problem is that in that first day of free agency, basically all the cap space went away. Like, every bit of cap space that was valuable was gone.
Oh, and by the way, that was different. That's different than what I at least expected, because we had talked in our last podcast about how people wait for the first chess piece to fall.
Yeah.
And that was not the case this year.
No. What they did was they saw that there are not very many chess pieces, and that they needed to be a chess piece on a team instead of a chess piece not on the board.
Right.
Ooh, I did good on that analogy. Ooh-wee.
So Tyreke Evans, who I just thought it was funny that, by the way, in the Naomi Via podcast, I believe I predicted Tyreke Evans as being a Warriors pick.
Yeah.
He makes
total sense there. I think I said that he might duplicate some of the Sean Livingston stuff, but they still just need another guard.
Yeah. I think I believe he can get to the basket a lot better than Sean Livingston can.
Yes,
from,
you're right.
From holding the ball at the 3-point line, I'm pretty sure he's a. I remember him early in his career. He reminded me of Grant Hill. Because I remember watching Grant Hill when he first got to the league when he was
both rookie of the year.
Grant Hill was on the Pistons, right, to start.
Yes, he was.
I remember watching him in a live game. I think maybe against the Knicks, and just being shocked at how easily he could get to the rim against anybody, and seemingly like doing it in only like two steps. Like he would just be at the rim for a layup. And I remember Tyreke Evans seemed like that as well. But I just thought it was funny on Reddit, the way people were like, when they were saying Tyreke Evans might join the Warriors, so many comments that were just like, this is unfair. And I thought they were kidding, but they weren't.
Yeah.
As if he was like KD going to the Warriors.
No, he still was like good last year, still Tyreke Evans.
But also, like, I think it's indisputable that like one of the advantages that the Warriors have is they seem to have an environment that players want to play in, you know, not just the fact that they're winning a lot, but like players seem to enjoy going there. They seem to enjoy living in the Bay Area. They clearly have advantages in terms of like quality of life that don't have to do with money.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if they're a big market team. Like, I don't know how big that market is TV wise.
Which market? The Bay?
Yeah. The San Francisco.
Oh, it's huge. It's a huge market.
I think
it's the number five market in the league.
Really?
Yeah.
In terms of TV audience?
Yeah.
I know that
LA, New York, Chicago, and then the Bay. Those are like the top four.
It is the number six.
It's the number six? That wasn't so far off saying.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Five.
New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, Philadelphia, Dallas.
Philly. Dallas.
And then San Francisco.
All right. And I mean, I wonder if that San Francisco counts all the people in the, I mean, I'm sure it does. Yes.
It's San Francisco, Oakland, San Jose.
Great. Great.
What's bizarre about that is I don't know why Houston is such a low TV market. They're number 8 because they're like number 4 in terms of population.
Yeah.
But anyway,
I don't know. I mean, I'm going to Houston.
Wait, when are you going to Houston?
I'm going to Houston. I get back from this trip on the 15th, and then I'm going on a road trip to Houston. I made this decision very, very haphazardly and quickly, and I'm going on to Houston on I think we're leaving on the 17th or 18th
of July.
Of July, and then I'm flying back from Houston.
Oh wow!
Yeah, it's gonna be crazy.
This is to go try to like play ping pong against Daryl Morey.
It's basically to go to all the restaurants featured in the Ugly Delicious episode about Houston.
Oh, you know what? I haven't seen that yet. I'll have to watch that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got to watch it. We're going to get some Viet Cajun food, some delicious barbecue. Oh, man, I'm really excited.
Oh, this all sounds good. I'll have some other Houston recommendations.
Yeah. We got to talk Houston.
Any other free agent stuff that like got you excited over the weekend?
Nerlens Noel just signed with Oklahoma City.
Interesting.
So I think that's a good, like, because he's a backup there, right? He's going to be a backup, and at the very best, he may push Carmelo for minutes in a like really defensively oriented lineup.
Mm-hmm.
But it also kind of feels like they're signing him to back up Adams, because they already have Jeremy Grant to back up Carmelo.
Right.
So.
Man,
I mean, I thought Noel could have been a good like, you know, we got JaVale in the place where I think I would have pushed to get Noel if we could have. But I'm glad that he, you know, got the money he wanted.
I'm going to predict a modest bounce back year for Carmelo next year.
You think so? Really?
Yes, I am, because I don't think. If he shoots worse than he did this year, it's going to be very sad.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to predict that he doesn't shoot 40% from the field this next year.
Okay.
I'm wondering what I'm just going to quickly look up what a regression to the mean would be for him.
his regression to the mean is going up.
Oh, for sure. I mean, his career field goal percentage is 45%. So.
What did he shoot, 38 last year?
He shot 40, exactly.
40, okay.
If he just gets up to 43%, it'll be a modest little bounce back.
Okay.
I just feel like him coming back is like almost just like we're definitely not winning a championship next year.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't seem like he's going to go down to taking 20 minutes a game. You know, he's never played less than 32 minutes a game his entire career.
Yeah.
That was last year. Like maybe he goes down to 29 or something. But
yeah, I mean, that's tough. I mean, it's tough for Carmelo to accept because, you know, you always want to like be the best player you can be and like show that you're good and play basketball. But, you know, I mean, he's not the coach, you know, you gotta kind of like make the best decision for your team. And yeah. I don't think the best decision for that team is playing Carmelo Anthony a lot of minutes. I mean, I don't know. I'm so down on Carmelo right now that you could
That's why I'm saying the modest bounce back. Cause everybody is so down on him. By the way, no one's going to be fooled by any Instagram video this summer.
No, I mean, did we see, the himper, the romp him, the romp him,
the romp him, yep.
Romp him mellow. That's the fashion accessory for this year.
I have not seen that, but I will tell you that I recently backed a Kickstarter for overalls that are made from sweatpants material.
Ooh.
So excited to wear those.
You know who originated those, right?
No.
Mario from Super Mario Brothers.
Oh, yes.
That's, you can definitely tell that his overalls are made from like a fuzzy material.
That's right. I'm also going to get that same hat and grow a mustache.
Great.
But you know what? None of this OKC bullshit matters because we have LeBron.
Okay. Yeah. We're in it to win it on that one.
You know what? RIP to my chances of getting season tickets this summer.
Yes, RIP. No season tickets. No buying tickets to go to a game for less than $80.
Yeah.
No, I mean, me having to find a way to subscribe to Spectrum Sportsnet.
Yeah. Oh,
God. So, I mean, so mad.
Well, here's the deal. Last year, this time last summer, I could have purchased Lakers season tickets because I'm on the wait list and my number came up.
Okay.
I couldn't afford it because it's 41 games. The cheapest one is like $39 a seat or something like that. And you want to get two seats.
Yes, definitely.
So I just wasn't able to come up with $80 times 41 games, which is what, like $3,000 or something like that.
Yeah.
It was a combination of, I couldn't afford it and I couldn't quite justify it in my mind.
Yeah.
And also I knew that it's generating a lot of administrative work for yourself because I can't go to all 41 games.
No, you got to sell the tickets you can't go to and then cajole people to going with you. And
so now, if I had purchased those tickets last year, I'd obviously be able to re-up them this year.
Yeah.
And I would have no problem selling all of my tickets for this year.
Yeah, no, I mean, this is going to be a huge year for resellers because, you know, this is not the year that it's going to happen, right? You know, it's going to happen next year, the year after.
Yeah.
And so this year people are going to pay the money to see it. But it, like next year, if you wanted to like go to a bunch of your games, you can actually go and see it happen, you know?
Yeah. So my only hope is if my number just happens to be, I don't quite know how it works, but if I get back into the like area where, you know, I believe I'm in like the 1800 spot for like getting a ticket, but there
I'm sure 1800 people are going to pass up Lakers season tickets in front of.
That's the thing is last year going into the Lonzo year, lots of people gave up their tickets.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen this year.
No.
So RIP, big loser this weekend, me in having season tickets.
Hey, I think it'll be okay. I got to give you some beat on the street from New York, you know, New York Knicks sign a Croatian wonder kid, Mario Hezonja, to a 1-year, $6 million deal to rehabilitate his career.
And didn't he just get drafted? Like
he got his 4th-year option declined by the Magic.
Wow.
So this will be his 4th year in the league, and he was the number 5 pick. And people were hot on this kid coming into the league.
People were like they were flipping a coin between him and Porzingis.
Yeah. And luckily for the Knicks, they were able to draft Porzingis one slot ahead of Hezonja.
And now they have both sides of that coin.
Ooh, oh, what a coin!
To get declined by the Magic,
you got Johnny Flynn and Ricky Rubio at the same time.
Oh God. Boy.
Yeah, it's not a good thing to get declined by the Magic. But here's the thing. The Magic have been poorly run for about 10 years now. Mm-hmm. No, 10 years is wrong. About 7 years now. They have nothing to show, basically, since the Dwight trade.
Wait, haven't they been badly run since they lost Shaq?
I would say that in 2009 to 2011, they were good, right? They went to the finals that 1 year. You know, they had the Rashard Lewis, Hedo Turkoglu, right, Jameer Nelson, right. Dwight Howard
years.
Yes. When Stan came through, whipped him into shape and got shipped out of town for a Diet Pepsi.
Right.
I can't wait for us to get our LeBron jerseys and go to Disneyland and dance around forever.
Yes. Oh my God. Am I going to be wearing a LeBron jersey? Oh
yeah. God. Yes, you are. You're going to be wearing a LeBron James jersey.
Jesus Christ.
And you're going to love it. You're going to love it so much. He's going to cram on some fools and you're just going to scream and it's going to be amazing.
Well, so the funny thing is that I love the narrative of after Paul George said no, a bunch of people saying like, see, haha, look at the Lakers. Magic can't do it. No one wants to play in LA anymore. All those Lakers fans are going to be so salty when LeBron goes somewhere else. So I love that it's like, actually Magic is like pretty charismatic. He closed the deal.
Yeah, Magic's fine. Magic's going to do what he's going to do. All right. Yeah. They're on the same team. Like Magic and LeBron have teamed up in a way that melds their business acumen and their basketball acumen. They're the super team of dudes who want to be more than basketball players.
Right. So I love that part of it. You know, I went on to Twitter last night and just found a bunch of old tweets from random people saying LeBron would never go to the Lakers, and just, you know, typed in "this aged well" to them.
Oh wow, you went on your trolling spree late night.
Oh yeah, I went on. You know, I added old takes exposed. A bunch of old, especially like blue checkmark verified Twitter sports writers that are like,
yeah,
I guarantee LeBron is not going to the Lakers.
That's so fun.
Those are very fun to at old takes exposed to. But so I'm happy for that, you know.
5 years from now, will you old takes exposed my tweet from last night about won't you be my neighbor?
I haven't seen it yet. Casey thought that Won't You Be My Neighbor, the documentary about Mr. Rogers, should be a series rather than a movie.
Yeah, it was too shallow. I love Mr. Rogers too much to like just watch a 90 minute movie about, you know, 35 years of a television show.
Right. So, and you felt that it could sort of like delve into like entire like eras of his career.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And it doesn't dive in. It just taps the toe in the water and that's it. So in 10 years from now, when that's considered the greatest documentary of our time, just hit me up on Old Takes Exposed and I'll be there.
It'll never be the greatest because Hoop Dreams is the greatest.
You know, in my car, I have Hoop Dreams on Laserdisc.
Why?
What do you mean? Why?
Do you have a Laserdisc player?
I mean, no. I have two, say no more, Casey.
It makes sense.
No, I have two. I have two Laserdiscs in my car. One is Hoop Dreams and the other is Victor Victoria.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And no Laserdisc player.
No Laserdisc player. I 6 years ago, I bought like a shit ton of Laserdiscs at a thrift store because I was like, I'm going to make these into clocks, you know, because like the guys who make like records into clocks and stuff. And then I just never did it. And now I just have like all the Alien movies on Laserdisc in a box in storage. One day though, I'm going to get my craft on and make that happen. I got the Hoop Dreams Laserdisc for a buddy to put up on his wall because Hoop Dreams, of course, is his favorite movie, and so I'm very excited to present that to him the next time I see him.
Well, cool. By the way, how did Bitchcoin, your show at the DCM, go?
Our show went really well. We had a really good set. I think I kind of led our first scene a little astray, but we got out of it and we recovered. And we had some really, really good scenes, really fun games that we were playing. Got some good responses. People really liked it. And it was a really fun set, good show. I was really happy with it.
I mean, it's only natural that you might lead the scene a little astray because you were a little bit distracted going into that show.
I was a little distracted, just a little.
Just getting Paul George news right before you step on the stage.
It was tough. My heart was broken, but I was able to pull through.
Cool. So you are in New York.
I'm in New York City.
I will be in New York on Thursday.
Right.
Hopefully let's we can grab a meal together.
Let's grab a meal. Let's do a live podcast. Let's make this happen.
And then you are going from there to Vegas.
I'm going to Summer League, okay? I want people to look for storylines. I want people to talk to me. I'm going to be doing stuff in Vegas. We're making this happen.
Awesome. So we'll do one on Thursday then.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Thursday or Friday when we're in town.
Great.
Cool. So, Casey, thanks for the New York City dispatch. The next time you hear us, we're both going to be in New York City.
Heck yeah.
And I guess... thus begins the LeBron James era of the Los Angeles Lakers.
Yeehaw, let's do this.
I guess we'll see you guys later this week.
Yeah,
I'll just have to think about how I feel about all this.
You're going to be fine. You're going to get over it so fast. Don't worry. Just like have a cocktail, get some wine that LeBron recommends, and you'll be totally good to
I'll
go.
I'll get some Dwayne Wade brand wine, which he drinks in the Paul George documentary.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, we'll see you guys next time.